Midlands Today on Midlands 103 with O'Brien's Mullingar. The Renault Capture. Capture life. pobrien.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Oops. Bit trigger happy there. Apologies. If you're curious what the weather forecast involves, sunny spells this morning, only a few passing showers. Mostly clear then through the afternoon and temperatures of 16 to 19 degrees. So rather pleasant. And tomorrow, dry and sunny. And Sunday, dry and sunny. And Monday, dry and sunny. This is good news. Yes, I should read the weather more often. Happy Friday. Good morning. Coming up today, nearly a dozen people injured after a bus crash in County Offaly on a road that sees far too many incidents. If you travel between Dangan and Ballinagar on a regular basis, what's the solution there? Brian Cowan speaks to us about his health and about the FLA. And a criminal linked to a wave of burglaries has been arrested here in the Midlands in relation to a violent break-in at the home of a 64-year-old man. More details between now and 11. When you call, 0818 300 103 is my number. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103. Become caller of the day and you win tickets to the Tullamore Show. It's back Sunday week with all of the usual fun and the fair, and, well, you've got machinery demos, craft villages, live music from the Gartha Band, live music from For Bands, Olivia Douglas. A great, great day to be enjoyed. Okay, what have we got for you on the front pages this morning? The Irish Independent shows Brian Cowan, and it's his first interview with the newspaper since suffering a stroke some years ago. He's actually looking very, very well in the picture. But it's Brian Cowan exclusive, My Fight for Life. And so he shares how he was in the Beacon Hospital for a very minor procedure. So minor, in fact, he doesn't even remember now what it was about. And so while under anaesthetic, he suffered a bleed to his brain. And he was then transferred to St. Vincent's Hospital, where they have some specialism in that. And, of course, he was unconscious. He didn't know any of this was going on. He was out for a couple of weeks and was initially confined to a wheelchair, but is now able to walk with the aid of a crutch. And he's fiercely determined to regain his full mobility. And he is, let's say, he's going to a football game, and he very much enjoys his sport. In that case, he'll bring the chair. But he was in Mullingar yesterday, making a rare public appearance for FLA Ceolna Héireann, and he received a special award for his long-standing support of Coltas. And he was in good form, and you'll hear some of what he had to say a little bit later. But his humour was certainly there, and he was making jokes and having a few digs and talked about awfully getting a hiding at the hands of Westmeath. And so it was a very nice day for Brian Cowan. And I was reading some of the social media reaction afterwards, and by and large, it was positive and it was very kind towards Brian Cowan. There were some people who still have their political criticisms, and fair enough, but good to see him in such fine fettle. That's on the front of the Irish Independent. The Irish Times says, wind farm revenues multiply as electricity prices soar. So only a few years ago, the great and the good within Irish research said they would get 53 euro per megawatt hour from wind farms. And they encouraged developers to go in and to set up. And at 53 euro per megawatt hour, it sounded like a tempting prospect. They're actually making 330 euro per megawatt hour. Therefore, it is six times more profitable than they imagined. And yesterday, Taoiseach Micheál Martin said the government would consider a windfall tax on energy companies in next month's budget, because there will be cost of living measures and they have to be paid for. And if some companies are making super normal profits, well, why shouldn't they shoulder some of that cost? The main story, or the main picture rather, on the Irish Times shows you, again, Brian Cowan in good fettle. He's sitting beside the Tourism Minister, Catherine Martin, in Mullingar. And I think I see Johnny Penrose there in one corner of the picture as well, a local councillor. The front of the Irish Daily Star, glad mum got to meet my new baby. It's an interview with former FAI boss John Delaney, who yesterday said goodbye to his beloved mum, Joan. She passed away a few days ago, and it was just as he celebrated the arrival of his new baby girl into the world. And so she was laid to rest in Tipperary yesterday. There's also a story there about a double beach drowning. And this happened in Ballybunion in County Kerry. And the man and the woman were on holidays when tragedy struck. And we are hearing this morning that he is from the Midlands. And we expect to have more details on that unfortunate incident a little bit later. Now, what is inside the papers? Yes. Pubs that have closed, not just because of COVID-19, but because of the smoking ban or the tougher drink drive laws, or generally the trend where people enjoy a night in nearly more than a night out. But County Laois, more than any other county, has seen the biggest decline in the pub trade, with almost one in three bars closing over the 16 years since the smoking ban came into effect. 15 counties suffered declines of between 20% and 30%, including Roscommon and Offaly. Tipperary had a high decline as well. So you can see the more rural counties suffering most. Laois, I'm curious about, because there are obviously a high concentration of pubs in Port Laois and in some of the larger towns, but then there's a vast rural hinterland in Laois as well. And maybe those pubs just did not have the number of patrons needed to keep the lights on. If you are, maybe you ran one of those pubs that has since closed and you want to share your story, or you want to point to the reason or indeed the solution to keep the remainder open. We're all ears. This is very morbid. The counties with the most and the least COVID-19 deaths have also been revealed in new statistics. The Irish Independent tells us that Dublin had the most deaths of all counties because, again, it has the highest population. However, if you look at the rate per head, Monaghan had the highest. And indeed, you can see on a map here that the counties along the border with Northern Ireland, generally speaking, suffered most. Now, there is a pledge to extend new nightclub closing times, and Justice Minister Helen McEntee would like to see people pouring out, not necessarily at 2 in the morning, but if you leave the nightclubs open far later into the night, her theory at least is you're not going to have the sudden spill out. People will gradually filter out maybe at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, and then the last stragglers at 6 o'clock or whatever. But she is now talking about transport, because all of that assumes the taxis are going to just stay there and be willing to collect you when you are very, 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 very drunk at 6 in the morning. And there's no guarantee they will. And this could put her plan to bed very quickly. So there's a story in the journal.ie this morning about how she's looking to expand public transport services once this law is enacted. And you're thinking instantly, that's Dublin. That's not here. You're not going to have public transport bringing you, let's say, from Mount Rath out to Camross or wherever. It's just not going to happen. Now, here's a story that is quite complicated. And it involves a number of counties and one guy at the centre of it who is suspected of breaking into a home in the Greig Cullen area of Carlow and violently attacking the 64-year-old who lived there. You may remember this. It happened a month ago, 2nd of July. And the victim, unfortunately, ended up in hospital, needed a dozen staples in his head. It was a harrowing attack. So the Gorthy quickly identified their suspect, and he is a 36-year-old who went to collect his unemployment benefit in Tullamore, and that's where they arrested him. A female associate, who is a person of interest in this case, a car connected to her was found burnt out in Athlone just hours after the burglary in Carlow. This is becoming very geographically complicated. And so she was arrested in a separate operation in the Midlands yesterday. And the Gorthy have been monitoring the movements of this couple for several weeks. So we will be hearing a little bit later as to how they've managed to piece this very complicated jigsaw together. But just on the gentleman himself, who is recovering still a month on from the incident in Greigcullen, he was very well known in GAA circles. Indeed, we spoke to the chairman of Greigcullen GAA at the time, and he has had good people looking out for him over what happened last month, and he is thankfully on the road to recovery. Let's look at budget 2023, and again the kites are flying. These are possibilities, they're not set in stone. But a third rate of income tax is still being considered. Hasn't been ruled in, hasn't been ruled out. But the idea is you've got your 20% rate and you've got your 40% rate, and you could very well have a 30% rate. Fine Gael wants to do this for middle-income earners, and it's something Leo Varadkar has asked his colleague in finance, Pascal Donoghue, to examine. And it's still under consideration, but they're not sure whether they will do it this year. They say it'll involve about €500 million being set aside to reduce the income tax burden. They're not sure if they'll have enough so-called fiscal space. Hey, that term again. One more for you. Vladimir Putin, who we think is unwell, and there have been many pictures and many videos online over the last couple of months showing him bloated and not in the best of health. And now the Sun newspaper reports on a body double that is suspected to be standing in for him at the latest press conferences and the latest events. And the way they've figured this out, experts have looked at his ears. And so this is the big conspiracy theory. Vlad's ears don't match Vlad of a few years ago. Would you ever have ear surgery? I had my ears pinned back once. Does that qualify? Anyway, that's in the Sun if you're interested. A lot of people talking about the stretch of road from Ballinagar to Dangan in County Offaly, which seems to be the location of a lot of crashes or a lot of cars, single vehicles going off the road. And it's difficult to picture if you haven't driven there, but it's a straight, and it is, I suppose, it's built on the bog, and you've got a ditch down into the bog on either side. And obviously we don't know the circumstances yesterday of a crash involving a bus, and thankfully it looked like no serious injuries arising from that. But many people have commented on the speed of cars on the road and whether it is time for some sort of traffic calming. There's often a speed van there, but that doesn't seem to be doing the job, and it's very predictable and very visible where the speed van is. And some are suggesting, well, maybe we need a ramp or even two along the road and just slow traffic down. If you use that stretch on a regular basis, tell me what you think of that idea, or is there a better way of addressing what is becoming a road with too many incidents? 083 30 10 103 on text and WhatsApp. And by the way, you qualify for caller of the day. You could well be heading to the Tullamore show on Sunday week. With our compliments, we've two tickets to give away today. And very much looking forward to the event as it returns for the first time since 2019. Former Taoiseach Brian Cowan was in flying form during a visit to the FLA in Mullingar. He was being honoured by COLTIS for the support he has given the organisation over the years, and it was a rare appearance by the former Laois Offaly TD and former Taoiseach, who is recovering after a bleed on the brain just over 3 years ago. He thanked the organisation for giving him the award.
I'd like to thank everyone who was involved in giving this award to me, whether it's deserved or not. The bit remains to be seen, but that's done anyway, and I'm not giving it back, so...
The Clara man also paid tribute to the Westmead footballers on their win in the Tailteann Cup.
Congratulations to Westmead, the Tailteann Cup. You gave us an awful hide looking club, can't we? Haven't been there in a long time. But very best of luck to you. But it's a delight to have a near neighbour here in Offaly looking enviously at the great crack you're going to have in Mullingar over the next few days. I'm certainly delighted that so many young people are able to come out this afternoon to entertain us. So we'll return to the music as quickly as possible. And thank you all very much for this wonderful occasion. And it's great pleasure to be here along with friends. Come on, get the music going before people start walking away.
Former Laois Offaly TD, who'd been in a wheelchair, was walking with the aid of a crutch. He says he's doing well.
Keeping well, thanks, in good form. We're over here at the school edge, yeah? So we're over here, we're not too bad.
So you got a nice gift from the FLA. How does that feel for you?
It's a nice thing to obtain because they don't give out too many of them. And anything that you can do for the FLA and for Coltis, I think, should be done because it's tremendous organisation. You saw here the tens of young people, must have been 100, 200 of them, all playing away there and getting well tutored out during the week, apart from the competitions as well. So it's a great get together of young people, and where there's young people, there's good vibe.
Brian, if memory serves me correctly, there's a video on the internet of you singing at 2008 at the Tullamore FLA. How does this year's FLA shape up to then?
We had a great time during our FLAs over in Tullamore. The fact that I'm still on that thing, clearly makes you think someone will take it down by now. But that's great. It's you enjoy. I mean, what you get here in Mullingar now next to this is a carnival time. Everyone's in good form, want to enjoy the crack, and there's great musicians, and people should come over now and watch what's going on and get our young people involved in music, because it's a great pastime, apart from anything else. It's a great way of socialising people of all generations playing music together, and that's what's lovely and beautiful about it.
And that's former Taoiseach Brian Cowan speaking with Midlands 103's Cameron Clark, and that report also by Sinead Hubble.
It's time to look your best in suits, casual, formal and footwear for men and boys at Guy Clothing High Street, Tullamore. The leading clothing destination for every man. Follow Guy Clothing Tullamore on social media.
Midlands 103.
25 to 10. Here's a scary one for you if you like going to Tato Park. They have bison on the grounds, and they're one of the attractions, actually. You can see them in their enclosure. But for some people, they got to see them out of their enclosure. The Irish Independent tells us today that last March, a man happened to walk up to one of the team and said, "Do you know there's a bison next to one of the amusements?" And they went and they looked, and sure enough, there was this big horny bison. You know what I'm getting at? He was an intimidating guy, out of his enclosure, out of his paddock. They initiated their animal recovery procedure and managed to get him in, having moved all of the visitors into the shop. And thankfully, nobody was injured. But in Yellowstone Park, where these guys are more often seen in their more native environment, bison have been known to attack people. In fact, even since the month of May, 3 people were attacked in Yellowstone, and the advice is you stay at least 75 feet away from these animals at all time. And apparently this incident is not the first time an animal has escaped from its enclosure in Tato Park. A white stork took advantage of the fine weather last year, and he managed to fly high over and away from the zoo, and this guy has a wingspan of 2 metres. He's a big boy. And you often see, if you go to Tato Park, you'll see various birds moving around. And, you know, it's actually part of the appeal to see such freedom. Mind you, not all of them, not the big cats, for instance, and certainly not the bison, are supposed to be roaming about with the visitors. Well, a few people want to talk about Brian Cowan, and in a very positive way, how well he sounds. Let me just read a few of these to you. Will, great to hear Brian Cowan's voice, a genuine gentleman who would have a word with anybody. Pity we don't have him to represent the Midlands still. That's from Anya. Will, it's great to hear Brian Cowan's voice. Another says, I'm so glad to see Mr. Cowan is doing well, a good man, and congratulations to him on his award. That's from Bernie. Great to see Brian Cowan so improved, says Mary in Rathdowney. He still has his witty sense of humour, and it shows determination pays off. Now, another more random story. Apologies to Moll. Moll, your grandkids are heading to Tato Park this morning, and now you're in for an anxious day after the story about the bison. Well, it was March. I'm sure they've fenced in the bison very well between now and then. And if they're heading to Tato Park, they might well be passing through Enfield, where Ollie is listening. Good morning, sir. Lovely to hear from you, and thanks for the message. And a final one. Will, I have to travel narrow rural roads to get anywhere. And I have to go really slowly or look for a place to pull in for a little bit of roadside because the speed of approaching vehicles is just crazy. And that's on straights, never mind on the bends. And as for the Ballinacar Mullingar Road, the speed of cars there is especially expect the unexpected around every corner. And it seems there's one of those roads in every county. In Offaly, it seems to be the Ballinacar to Dangan Road, where those crashes and those incidents and those near misses are happening all too often. Ballinacargy to Mullingar, I agree, that's a particularly treacherous stretch as well. And indeed, Mullingar towards Delvin, quite tricky as well, although they have straightened it out a bit in the last few years. But I'm sure you can point to roads where something has to be done, whether it's some sort of traffic calming or more frequent speed vans or whatever. But thankfully, yesterday, nobody seriously injured arising from that bus crash in County Offaly. Next, the decline of the rural pub. It seems in Laois, more than in any other county, publicans have been challenged over the last, well, nearly two decades since the smoking ban came into effect. And I'll tell you just how many pubs have closed in counties Offaly and Westmeath as well. And then we can have the conversation whether that is just the reality of today and whether we're content with that or whether policies need to change to encourage the local pub to remain open. Is it not in every county where pubs have closed a lot over the last nearly 20 years? And the answer is no, actually. In Laois, more than any other county, you have a 30% decline, nearly a 31% decline in the number of pubs. But in Meath, the decline is 1.4%. So it's hardly changed at all. So what is different about Meath? You've got proximity to Dublin, yes, I suppose you've got the East Coast, Bettystown as well, where there would be a degree of tourism. Tourism, I don't think, alone explains it. Cork, for instance, has declined enormously. So we'll have that conversation with publicans, but I'd like your input as well in the next few minutes. Now, Sinead Hubbell is our head of news, and she is here. Well, I suppose we have to cover quite a few things. Let's start with some good news. You were in Mullingar last night for the FLA.
I was.
Soaking up the atmosphere. And how did you find things?
It was fantastic. There was just a real buzz around the town. A lot of people had gathered around the stage in the car park there just beside Westmeath County Council buildings. Just incredible. Like, there were so many people around, lots of families, people out with their dogs as well, just having a look around. There were several.
Did you bring Ted?
I did. And he was a hit with everyone, and he loved getting so much attention. But it was a great day. People were stopping and talking to each other, and there was huge crowds gathered on the streets as well. Lots of different musicians just setting up on different areas around. Lots of children taking part in it as well.
I'm not sure if people could hear that music in the background, but a listener kindly sent us a video of just pure class little musician around the Joe Dolan statue. But you can see it's just an impromptu setup. A few people with instruments sitting down, playing music. And they're just having a great time and people are watching and soaking it all in.
And that was it. Like, people were genuinely enjoying themselves just playing music on the street. People were gathering around them. It was great as well to see all the businesses and how they've adapted to it. So lots of pop-up little shops around the place, lots of people using windows to sell, whether it was pubs using them or fast food. It's incredible how creative people have been as well in the town. And, parking obviously was an issue getting in and out. A lot of people had been illegally parking. We saw one car being towed away.
Good that they got towed away.
Yeah, Gardaí have also said they are issuing €80 fines for anybody who parks illegally on footpaths, because they're reminding people, like, you've got wheelchair users, pedestrians, children.
And there are ample parking spaces set up in the car parks, and it's well organised.
And it's not that far to walk into town, because everywhere is kind of very central. And where everything is happening, where the main stage is set up, it's very central to the town. So there are lots of places to find proper parking.
All right. Now, that's the good news. The Dangan to Ballinagar Road, hardly a week goes by that we don't hear it's closed for one reason or another, usually because somebody has driven off the road, and sometimes it's a large vehicle, a lorry or whatever, has gone off the road. Very fortunate yesterday not to be reporting on more serious injuries. What happened?
Exactly. We got word yesterday afternoon, shortly after 3 o'clock, that there had been a collision between a 52-seater coach and an Arctic lorry on that road. And Gardaí and emergency service responded quickly, and we heard that at least 4 ambulances had attended the scene very shortly afterwards, and the fire service were also there to help people. There were 14 people on board the coach, and 10 people in total then were taken to different hospitals around the Midlands region for treatment. But we were told that there were all minor injuries and that no serious injuries had been reported.
Mm. It was closed for a good while afterwards. It was about 7 o'clock, 7:30 when I was going home from work, and the Gardaí were out and Offaly County Council were out and they were diverting people.
Yeah, I think it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock when the road did reopen.
And the markings are down on the road today. They have obviously taken all their forensics and measurements. But do you know the stretch of road?
I do, but I wouldn't be overly familiar with it.
It's a straight, and it's... you go down a hill on either side to get onto this straight, and some people just, and I'm not suggesting this happened yesterday, by the way, but some people run up quite a bit of speed, and there's overtaking and so on, and it's all too frequent that we're hearing about that stretch of road having some incident or other. And a lot of people have different views on how to deal with it, whether the speed van should be there more often, whether there should be a ramp, whether there should be a widening of the road has been suggested by a couple of people as well. It is quite a narrow stretch. There isn't a hard shoulder on either side. Again, it's elevated above the bog. You've got a deep ditch. Yeah, and maybe there should be more of a gradient there. Anyway, that's for another day.
Well, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses, and they're investigating what the cause of the collision was. So they're asking anybody who may have been on the road around the time of the incident to get in touch with them.
What else have you got for us?
So we've heard about a man who has been arrested while collecting his dole in Tullamore. Now, this is in connection with a violent break-in at the home of a 64-year-old man in the Great Cullen area on Saturday, July 2nd. The victim suffered a violent ordeal, and he had to have about a dozen staples in a head wound following the incident.
As I recall, because we talked to the chairman of Great Cullen GAA at the time, this was late on a Saturday night. He heard some noise, I think it was in his back garden, and went, and then suddenly was set upon, and it was awful. And there wasn't very much involved in terms of money or value.
No, and people were so shocked in the area, and the victim was very well known in the area, and people were so upset about what had happened to him.
But the Gardaí received huge cooperation, and it seems they quickly identified a suspect.
Yeah, so they have a 36-year-old suspect. He was arrested during a surveillance operation on Wednesday. He was actually collecting his unemployment benefit in Tullamore when Gardaí arrested him.
Now, this is where the plot thickens.
It does.
So there was a female associate of this man also arrested as a person of interest.
Yeah, it was after a car connected to her was found burned out in the Athlone area just hours after that burglary in Grey Cullen. So she was arrested in a separate operation in the Midlands region again yesterday, and Gardaí say that they had been monitoring their movements for several weeks.
All right, well, they're arrested and being questioned at the moment.
Yes, and we'll follow up with Gardaí to see if they're being released.
Sinead, thank you very much. A great text saying, Will, isn't the Midlands a great little place to live? Flas, festivals, concerts galore, the ploughing, the agri shows, something for everybody. Hear, hear, you can sing that one. Will, please put me in the draw for tickets to the Tullamore show. I didn't come up again yesterday. I am sorry, Catherine. You are in the draw by simply texting. You can just say hello. You can say F off. You can say whatever you want. Just get involved on 083 3010 103 and one person will be caller of the day and win tickets to the Tullamore show, which is back for the first time since 2019. Thank heavens. Will, €80 for parking on footpaths in Mullingar? Well, John in County Leash says, in Abbey Leagues, on the Mount Rath Road, just down from the traffic lights, there are always a lot of cars parked on the footpath. And where, oh, where is the parking warden? John would very much like to see you, parking warden, if you are listening. Will, in relation to the stretch of road in Dangan, between Dangan and Ballinagar, I'm originally from the area and I remember loads of accidents, and the simple fix on this one would be traffic lights at one end of the stretch and traffic lights at the other end of the stretch, and only one lane through at a time. So you would have to narrow it a bit to make sure nobody tried to jump the traffic lights. That's a message from Christy. Thanks, Christy. And a caller who lives a little further along that road, closer to Eden Derry, says they put islands in Mount Lucas. Yes, the traffic islands, I'm familiar with them. But they made no difference, says this person. People try to see how fast they can go through there. So ramps. Ramps are the only answer. Between Darcy's and the Mona Bar, and again between Ballinagar and Dangan. And I'm sure we're talking about just that one road in County Offaly, but you can probably point to a road wherever you live where people, for whatever reason, keep getting into collisions or crashes, or they go off the road and there's some sort of solution needed. And rather than just put it on the long finger and let engineers procrastinate and ruminate and, well, we could go on, let's come up with some ideas this morning and we will pass them on. You say August is silly season, so you hear stories that you'd never otherwise come across at any other time of year, such as how eating sugar helps you solve puzzles, and how you can now let your dog take part in your wedding thanks to a new service. These are some of the stories we'll be chatting to the Friday panel about, but also... some of the more important stuff this week. How a Midlands TD introduced a new bill to bring down insurance premiums. The Sabina Higgins controversy, storm in a teacup, or a genuine issue? All of this we shall thrash out between now and 11. After 11, by the way, Catherine Lynch, funny woman, drops in for That's Life with Brian Cunningham to put a smile on our face on this Friday morning. Plenty of people happy to hear Brian Cowan in Fine Fettle on the radio a little bit earlier. And I'll just give you some of these messages, just a flavour of them. From Bernie, from Geraldine, both extending their best wishes. Improving all the time, notices Bernie. Will, the natural banter and wit in the conversation Brian Cowan had yesterday was a joy to hear, says Anne Flatterty in Clara. And... she says, talented musicians, whistling donkeys, jigs and reels, the cattle at the Tullamore show next week, a cruise on the Shannon. Sure, the Midlands has it all. Indeed it does. Jackie, though, says, while it's fantastic to have the Fla in Mullingar, I don't agree with prices being hiked up for food and for drink. And I'm wondering how commonplace that is, Jackie. Are there a few just taking advantage, or is it more widespread? It will leave a bad taste in people's mouths if it happens. 083 30 10 103 on text and on WhatsApp. Now, here's a chronic issue that has been a challenge for nearly 20 years. The decline of the rural pub. And new figures show the extent of this, but also the inconsistency of it. Where in County Leash, and County Offaly is just behind, by the way, but these are the counties where the decline is most pronounced, with 30%, 3 out of 10 pubs closing since 2004. But in County Meath, for instance, the decline is just 1.4%, barely a change at all. So let's see, can we figure out what's going on? John Clendenin is President-elect of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. How surprised are you with this regional variation, John? Good morning.
Good morning, Will. And just from the outset, just to be associated with those well wishes for Brian Cowan, it's good to see him out attending public events and in good health.
So, indeed, and hear, hear.
Good health to him and good to see it. And thanks for having me on this morning. I suppose for many within the industry, these statistics don't come as a major shock. There has been a steady decline, I suppose, since 2005, and in more recent years with the pandemic, it has probably expedited that in terms of maybe where there was publicans coming near retirement or maybe in a lease and decided that they were going to conclude early, and obviously that would lead to these statistics. In terms of what we're looking at here in the Midlands, as you say, Leash and Offaly are at 30 and 29% or 31 and 30% if you round them up. But also Westmead and Longford. Westmead is at 24.4 and Longford is at 25.7. So it is definitely an issue in rural areas. And we've come together as part of Digi, which is the drinks industry, the Group of Ireland, with VFI, the Vintners Federation of Ireland, under that umbrella, to just basically highlight the concern that we would have on the impact that this is having right across Ireland, but particularly in the areas that have suffered the highest number of losses. And really what this announcement or highlighting of this issue right now is that we could hopefully see some favourable progress in the budget around the whole area of excise to try and save our pubs. And I think right now where we're at in terms of pubs, we've just come out of COVID-19. A large number have been trading particularly well. However, there is still pubs that remain closed. We estimated that to be around 5%. And we're unfortunately seeing some of our members fall away that are deciding to get out of the business. So we really now need some sort of a plan and support that can assist. And with the winter coming, with the high cost of energy and trading in general, and considering the numbers that you need to maintain a sustainable business, obviously it's not adding up from the numbers that you're seeing in terms of the closures. So we will be looking for that reduction in excise, and we'd be hoping that that could be introduced at 7.5% in the budget ahead.
To drill down into some of the numbers, you mentioned pubs that have not reopened since the pandemic. So that would be 13 in Leash, 13 in Offaly, 6 in Westmeath, slightly less. But to this regional variation, I mentioned just a decline of 1.4% in Meath. Is that a good fortune of geography and maybe the growing towns and the commuter base in Meath? Or is there a policy lesson there? Did they have some initiative, or was there a public transport programme or something that explains this?
No, I think if you look at the figures and see maybe where it looks, you know, in terms of the lower levels of decline, they have been really within that commuter belt around Dublin in particular. You see Meath, Dublin, Wicklow, Carlow, Kildare. So there may well be an aspect of that in the numbers, that just where counties are within the commuter belt that they maybe have suffered less. But you know, I don't think we should really focus on the range here.
Well, the reason I bring it up is whether it's a symptom of population shift. We know the growth in population has been most concentrated on the East Coast, and there are some rural areas that are depopulating. And if that's the case, then excise isn't really going to solve the problem.
And I wouldn't necessarily agree. Certainly, you know, I would agree that there's an element of urbanisation, but, you know, these figures are reducing right across the board from Wicklow at 10%, even though it is, you know, a commuter belt, it's to a lesser extent. So we need to just make the pub business feasible again. And there is increasing costs and possibly reducing footfall. And I mentioned to you before on interviews, Will, that, you know, there's an aspect of innovation that's required here. There's an aspect of introducing new products, meeting the needs of consumers and so on. But I think there's an element of assistance there that's required too. And many of our members in the VFI would have highlighted to me that, you know, this year has been very difficult as well. You know, obviously last year, before we were dealing with a pandemic, our sector was one of the first closed, hardest hit and last to open. But this year, there's issues with trying to get staff. A lot of people have been slow to come back to pubs, and prices and costs and expenses have been going up. So that squeeze in terms of profit margins is getting tighter and tighter all the time. And we just see this as one possible option where the government could assist in making pubs more sustainable and, more importantly, attract new entrants into the market. I think there's an element of succession there that's required as well, where a pub's closed, that it is an appealing proposition for someone to come in, take it on, and see it as a feasible livelihood.
John Clendenin, grateful for your time and thank you for taking the call.
Thank you, Will.
John Clendenin is President-elect of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. 083 30 10 103 for your own input. Do you go out as much as you used to? I'm sure there's some element of changing habits in these numbers as well. Maybe affordability is part of the equation. So, get involved because you could become caller of the day and win tickets to the Tullamore Show on Sunday week. 083 30 10 103, text and WhatsApp.
Now, the Midlands Today Friday panel. Leash's favourite station. Midlands 103.
Let's meet our Friday panel. And first of all, Brian Fagan is here from Brian's Treasure Chest in Mullingar.
Good morning, Will.
How are you?
I'm good.
Enjoying the fla?
The fla is brilliant. It really is. It's great to see it.
Do you play an instrument?
No, I was going to put a sign up, pay me and I'll stop.
Very clever. Very clever. We also have everybody's favourite pest. That's Kieran Lambert from Lambert
Morning,
Pest
Will.
Control in Mullingar. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Sure, not a bother. Not a bother at all. And Tom Moss Nally from Rochford Superstore. I'm sure the ice creams are flying out, are they?
Absolutely flat out, especially since Peter was in with us. He made a bit of a mess, but in fairness to him, he created a stir as well. So it's great going since.
That's a relief. I was concerned that he may have ruined your reputation.
Not at all. No, it's all is going well.
Let's start with a story that some would say was a storm in a teacup and others may find legitimate objection in this. Sabina Higgins, the president's wife, was condemned earlier in the week for her letter to the Irish Times, which was subsequently republished on the official Áras an Uachtaráin website, albeit in her section of it. And you had the likes of Michael McDougall, the former Taoiseach, suggesting that she was wrong to write this letter. The fault that was found is she didn't seem to draw a distinction between Vladimir Putin of Russia and Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, and did not make clear that Russia was the aggressor and so on. But her letter was to call for negotiations, for peace, ultimately. What was your take on this, Brian? Was she wrong?
No, she wasn't wrong. I mean, any person who calls for peace should not be condemned for doing so. And I think it's appalling that people are attacking her for doing something that we should all be doing, is calling for a peace settlement, sit down, talk, sort out the issues, and finish this war. Too many people are being killed. Too many lives are being destroyed. And I've seen it over the years, people calling to continue a war who are perfectly happy to do so when they're thousands of miles away from the front line. You know, if you want to keep the war going, go out and fight. Otherwise, stop. I've worked overseas on the edges of wars, dealing with refugees in Kosovo in 1999. I was in Afghanistan and several other countries dealing with the outcome of war. And I'm sick of it, listening to people urging more war, more killing, more bombing, more slaughter, Stop it.
Do you mind if I inquire, how did that change your perception, actually, physically being there, being on the ground?
Well, going out first, you've no idea. I mean, the idea of war in history, I think, you know, brave soldiers out and fighting, it's not like that. It's young men and young women being slaughtered in the front line with machines now. It's not the Middle Ages where it's man-to-man fighting. And the destruction of property and the destruction of lives and children destroyed and schools destroyed and people kicked out of their homes. There were hundreds of thousands of refugees in Albania from Kosovo, which we were looking after during the Kosovo War. And I went straight in. Once the war was over, we crossed the border, went back in. And the destruction was horrendous. And it wasn't necessary. I mean, it's madness. War is madness. And we shouldn't be condemning somebody for trying to stop it.
Tomas, do you agree, or can you see where the criticism was coming from?
Oh, I agree with Brian. Anything that is done to stop war is fundamentally good. I think that the issue that people were taking was maybe that it was publicised on the presidential website. And I suppose when you start that, like, I'd agree with everything she said 100%, but where do you draw the line? What's put on the presidential website? What's not? Whose opinion is it? You could very much take somebody, another country that's trying to, I suppose, warp what she's trying to say, could say it's on the presidential website. It's coming from the president. This is the national outlook on what's going on. So it's a fine line. Her sentiments, I do agree with. Maybe putting it on the actual presidential website was not the place. A personal letter to the Irish Times, etc., is acceptable because they published it independently. But I think what's put on the actual presidential or government websites does need to be careful. It's a fine line. It's a balancing act. But her sentiments are totally, and what Brian has said, I completely agree with.
Kieran Lambert, your take finally?
Yeah, I agree with the two lads. They're spot on exactly what they're saying about everything. You know, putting on the presidential website, probably not the best idea. But as Brian said, you know, like, anything that stops a war can help with peace talks, get on with it and get it sorted.
For the record, you had to go onto the website, click on the link for Sabina Higgins. It was not visible in any other part of the website, and there is a dedicated section to her. But yes, the original letter was published in the Irish Times. It said, Sabina Coyne Higgins, Dublin 8. And she says a few people had inquired about the letter afterwards. They had missed it in the paper, and that's why she loaded it in her section of the website. Anyway, that's where that has, I think, had a line drawn underneath it. Once she released her statement, the story seemed to die down. Now, there were many positive stories this week about the FLA in Mullingar. We touched on it a little bit earlier. We talked with Liam Gilleran of the Vintners Federation, and he talked about the tsunami of business from FLA visitors. We also heard from a beauticians yesterday. They've totally revamped and pivoted, and they're selling teas and coffees downstairs. And Tomás, people may remember you wrote a letter, and we read it out on this programme, about 2 weeks before the FLA, where you were picking up on negative vibes and you were encouraging people in business to throw their weight behind it and give it support and get on with things. Has that negativity evaporated, or is there still some moaning this week?
I think largely it's completely evaporated when people have seen what the actual FLA has brought to the town. Like, there's people from absolutely all over the country and all over the world arriving day by day, and it's steadily getting busier and busier. I think a lot of the negativity was fear of the unknown, maybe, and maybe not realising just how big an event this is. And it's easy to cast stones when you're on the outside. Like, as I said in the letter, there's 5-6 years work gone into this by an incredible group of people, supported by the county council, the guard, local authorities. Everybody has got their shoulder behind the wheel. And it's a phenomenal event. But you're always going to get people that are going to nitpick and say, oh, this should have been done, that should have been done. That's grand. Nothing's going to be perfect year one. Hopefully we get it year two or year three. And you can tweak things as things go along. But it's not going to land in your lap and be a polished diamond straight off. You have to tweak as you go along and work with the people that's organising it, not against them. like, God, they deserve so much praise. It's phenomenal what they've done.
Brian, I know those in hospitality, the restaurants, the hotels, the pubs, they will have benefited probably most. You're in retail, you've a charity shop. Are there any negatives, or are you getting people dropping in who you've never seen before?
No, I mean, I'm delighted the flowers come to Mullingar, and it's wonderful for the town. I haven't heard that much negativity. Some worries from some people, especially elderly people living in the centre of town, which has been blocked off. But in fairness to the council, they brought in a permit scheme to let people in and out, which was a great benefit. Some businesses won't do well as the Fla. I've heard nobody complain. Like people have said, well, should we just take our summer holidays?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, at that rate. Our shop is ticking along. It's hard for the volunteers to get in. So some of them just won't be able to get in, but that's fine. I mean, I don't mind. Once it's good for the town and everyone else is doing good, that's fine with me.
Mm. And it'll flow in eventually.
Eventually it will, yeah.
Because it's worth a lot to the local economy. Kieran, I'm not sure where you're based. Does it impact on your business at all?
It doesn't. It impacts both ways. A very positive way, because we do a lot of, say, eco-friendly hygiene supplies. So napkins, especially now, we were supplying a lot of napkins to businesses in the town for the Fla, like for obviously giving out to customers, because the Fla was actually promoting it like to go green as much as possible with everything. So on that front, yeah, absolute great for us. On the other side of it then, we've no work in the centre of town, but it doesn't really affect us at all, because we just organise work around the outside of town or in different towns around the area. So it doesn't really matter to us that much. But like, even ourselves, like, we travel a lot on the road, and I must say, like, the traffic diversions that the Fla, the council, the guards and everything have organised around it, we're in and out, done and dusted straight away, and I have to condemn them for that, like, because it's absolute brilliant for us, like, you know. And even, like, I was in the Fla yesterday evening, and I was in Tuesday evening as well, and I must say, I was, you know, not somebody go to these events and you see a lot of rubbish and stuff around, absolute virtually nothing, little bits and pieces here and there. So obviously, like, I think Mullingar Tidy Towns are involved in that there as well, of keeping the place clean and tidy, and with plenty of bins out and all that sort of stuff. The town absolutely looks fantastic with it all. And the weather's been very good as well. I know a few showers most days as well, but the sun's been shining, and I know this weekend is supposed to be good as well. So, like, just fair juice to everybody, the Fla, the committees, you know, there's volunteers. There's so much going on with it and so much organising with it. It's absolutely fantastic to see it.
Now, a few texts have come in about prices. So one caller says a pint of Guinness would ordinarily be €5. Now it is €6. A different caller, Bernie, says she was in Mullingar Wednesday evening with her daughter and her grandkids. She paid €3 each for a can of minerals. And a few other people are like, there's a €10 burger being talked about here. Tomás, what's your policy on pricing? Are you cashing in? Are you staying the same as always?
No, I think, to be honest with you, there's, if you go to the Aviva Stadium, right, you'll get a pint of beer for, say, £8. You'll get a burger for £12.50, and it's absolute muck, to be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. So there is speciality burgers and people that are doing pop-ups that are premium quality stuff for, say, a tenner. Now, there's a happy medium too. €3 for a can of minerals is a rip-off. Let's call a spade that way too. Like, in general, a can is around 125, so that is extortionate. So, like, with us ourselves, personally, we're doing meal deals. We're doing, like, our 99s are 250. We're not going, I've heard of 99s being €3 around the country. So, like, if you rip people off, they're not going to come back to you. And in general, most people, the pricing I've seen is fair. The pint's €6. You have to understand, I suppose, it's only a euro extra. If you're going to to an event or a concert or something, it's always €7-8. So €6 is not overly big compared to the cost that these pubs have done to put stuff in. Like,
well, that's the question. Yeah,
huge money.
Have the additional overheads because of the Fla, or
definitely,
are they just cashing in?
every pub in the town is done to the last. There's lads with beer gardens that have turned little yards into phenomenal beer gardens. I'm not a publican myself, but the amount of people that have commented that God, Mullingar has absolutely the finest pubs in the country. And they're people that will come back on stags. They'll come back with their summer holidays. Like, the pubs in this town are absolutely the last word. And fair play to all the lads for doing the work they've done. It's huge.
Some other comments before we take a break. Will, whatever Sabina Higgins said is absolutely right. And people just have little to talk about by having a go. And there are several who point out the popularity of Michael D. Higgins and how the government may not like necessarily that he is sometimes more popular than they are and are keen to have a go. Indeed, there were many unnamed politicians being quoted in newspapers earlier this week. Many stories this week about shopping, which is becoming more and more expensive whenever you go for the groceries, whether it's the war in Ukraine, COVID, inflation is just biting everywhere. One piece of research suggested actually the deals aren't all they're cracked up to be, that sometimes, and very often, we end up paying for food we don't use just because there's a 3 for 2 or a buy one, get one free offer. But there was another story that has caught Brian's eye, Brian Fagan from Brian's Treasure Chest, and it concerns best before dates versus use by dates. And in Britain, the supermarket Waitrose has decided to remove the best before date on nearly 500 of its products. Are you in favour or against this?
Well, fully in favour. I mean, the best before it means absolutely nothing. Most food that has best before date, it's perfectly fine for weeks, months, years afterwards. The only one that matters is the use by date. Mm. And even with that, you have a few days afterwards where the food is perfectly safe. It's just a recommendation for fresh vegetables or fresh meat. But the amount of waste and food that's dumped because it's coming to its best before date is madness. Millions of pounds and millions of euros of perfectly good food thrown out and nobody will use it. It needs to stop. I know the European Union have been talking about removing it. Anyway, it's on one of their policies they're going to change because it makes no sense.
Kieran, would you be comfortable eating something that says best before July, for instance?
Look, if it's fruit and vegetables or something like that and it looks fine and it smells fine and there's nothing wrong with that, likes a chicken or shellfish or something like that, obviously they'd have a use by date on it. So that could be slightly different. So, you know, I'd be a bit more hesitant maybe with them type of products rather than fruit or veg or something like that, you know, or instead of a bar of chocolate now, Will, if the use by date and that now was July, I'd chance it in August, all right, you know.
I'm just wondering how deeply ingrained is the psychology, because we've had best before dates for decades at this stage.
Oh, I'd say it's programmed into our brain by the supermarkets and all to sell more products, I would imagine.
Let's get Tomás on this, because I'm sure you've looked around the shop. Are best before dates or use by dates, which is more frequent, more common?
Well, I have an idea for you more than anything on this. Like, if you look at it, traditionally, when you got your groceries in, if they went out of date, you had to leave them on the shelf till the rep or the supplier saw them. Then he would bring them back, physically bring them back, and you get credit for them. Or else you throw them out. So either way, it's costing you money either way. So I could never understand why the likes of those foods within a day or so of going off couldn't be transferred to a food bank or something that would essentially get rid of your waste. It's providing free food for somebody and it's solving your problem. And something like that as a pilot scheme in Mullingar, I think, would really work for the likes of shops like ourselves or different shops to pilot how you get rid of this, or make not so much get rid of it, make use of it without it being thrown out. Because Brian's right, like, you're talking tons and tons of food being that's perfectly usable and it's been thrown out just because there's a stamp on it. And like a lot of it is in ideal condition. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Well, if I come in here.
Sorry, Will, can I just step in there for a minute? I know there's there is a family resource centre there in Ballinacarrigy called Cara Ford, and they actually do take in food like that that has nearly gone out of date and stuff like that. I'm not sure exactly where they get it from, but it's one of the supermarkets, I think, in town that they get it from, and they distribute it then free of charge out to people who possibly need it.
Yeah, well, I found, like, over the last 20 years, we do the Christmas food appeal, and approximately 400 families get food from us every year. Quite a lot of them will not take food that's gone by its best before date.
Really?
So we had to stop doing it because they simply would not accept it. You know,
even though you pointed out it's best before rather than use by.
Yeah, even say it's best before end of November, whatever, or early December. If it's a week before Christmas, they will not take it.
And so that's something that I've encountered as well. I've contacted charities, food appeals, and they've said, look, if it's new, if you're donating brand new product, we'll take that. But nothing that's within a day or so of going out of date. And like, I suppose from a food safety point of view, they're covering themselves with that. But at the same, if they hand out something that somebody said could be wrong, it could come back in them in this whole insurance culture. But there's a happy medium there somewhere that we could set up some kind of a pilot thing that would go out with. People collect it themselves. It's not handed to them. So it's their choice maybe that they take that product. And maybe that would get around it. But there's massive amount of foods going in dumpsters every single week, just in Mullingar, and mind the country.
It really does show how programmed we are, how successful this Best Before initiative has been as opposed to Use By. It's going to be a very difficult habit to change.
The only difference with Best Before, it mainly means the taste might change a little bit the older it gets. It doesn't mean the food has gone off. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's perfectly fine. I mean, I remember certainly in Africa, on many occasions eating food 2 or 3 years past Best Before this. Dried pastas, tinned foods. Perfectly fine. So I would have no issue.
Yeah, that's a commercial initiative as opposed to a food safety initiative, yes. Really, isn't it? Yeah. 083 30 10 103 on text and WhatsApp. Duncan says 3 for 2 offers are great. They help food banks. You drop off the extras that you might not use in the basket in store on your way out, and you still save, but help feed others. Yes, that's if you are doing it at the time when you're in the shop and it gets to whoever needs it rather promptly, rather quickly. Shrinkflation. Not sure if you're familiar with the term shrinkflation, Kieran, are you? I understand you know a thing or two about shrinking.
Yeah. Yeah, shrinkflation. Yeah, I suppose it's ongoing for years, isn't it, that... You know, to reduce the size of packets of Maltesers, there, I think, is on the text on it, yeah.
Yes, so the Irish Daily Mail has reported on Maltesers reducing for the sharing pack from 180 grams to 175 grams, but yet the price remains the same. Twix bars are down 15%, and again, price remains consistent. Does this happen, like, you're obviously in a totally different business, Kieran, with pest control, and I'm sure you're buying various products. Do you see it with chemicals, or generally are the sizes the same?
No, not really, yeah. No, everything sort of stays the same for us with that end of it. I suppose that these companies doing this is they're putting a price increase really onto their product without actually putting without the customer actually seeing that they're actually getting the price increase on it, I suppose, you know. It doesn't happen to us, Will. Our products, like we buy stuff either in kilos or liters, whatever we're buying, and it's the price will go up on it, all right. But the size doesn't matter at all to our business.
I suppose it would be harder to disguise as well. So if you're picking up a box that has Maltesers inside, unless you're very sensitive to the weight, you're not really going to pick up that there are fewer Maltesers actually inside. And they'll probably dress it up as a health initiative as well. Oh, we're trying to cut down on your sugar intake. In Rochford's, I know you've an array of products, Tomás. Do you see any of them getting smaller?
Oh, it's huge. Like, I remember a little lad, the mother handed him a pack of buttons there recently, and he opened it and he said, "Where's the rest of them?" And like, it's just constant. Everything's getting smaller and smaller. I'd say there's about 10 buttons in a pack of buttons now. It's phenomenal how bad it's got.
Soon it'll just be Cadbury's button.
Yeah, it will. Like a Mars bar is nearly the size. Remember, you know, the Duos, the two bars.
Mm.
A single Mars bar is nearly the size now of one of them Duos. They're just cutting it the whole time. And as somebody that's selling it, it's embarrassing because you're getting it in the neck, then somebody will tell you what, but it's that price for that size of a bar. And they're justifying it with sugar taxes and everything else. But as far as I can see, any of these health initiatives, they actually jump on the bandwagon and say, right, this is a chance for us to up our percentage, up our margin, by getting a little bit more out of it and disguise it in a health issue, which is definitely isn't, because people, it's like cigarettes. People are always going to buy cigarettes. We have to get over this thing of, you know, putting the price up is going to stop people buying it. People are always going to buy chocolate. They're always going to buy crisps. So just putting the price up on sugar taxes and health taxes is not the way to solve the obesity problem.
Mrs. M has contacted us to say she doesn't agree with waste, but there needs to be a sell-by date for shops to clear out the product and let the buyer decide whether they want it based on the use-by date. If shops are not compelled to sell it by a deadline, she fears they will stock it until it's on its very last legs, and then the buyer will end up having to throw it out anyway. Shops need to lead with better selling practice.
And I don't agree with that.
Go on. Why not?
I like you. Where do you draw the line there? Like, if that's putting the onus on the shop, so the shop has to sell it below cost then to get rid of it. So who's it's no of no benefit to the shop to actually get it in then. You know, that's cutting your nose off to spite your face. From a shop point of view, if you're going to be selling everything at below cost to try and get rid of it, the food appeal end of things works out much more sense. But I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, well, also, if a shop isn't turning over stock fast enough and is in a position to something, then they're really not doing much business. They wouldn't be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Supermarkets and the cloud of legal action has destroyed us, and that is why we allow others to starve while we waste, says another text. There is a shop, according to Patricia in Kilbeggan, a shop in Dublin that sells products past their best before date. She picked up a box of 10 Bourneville buttons for €2. So it's a big box. I suppose it's what you get in the wholesalers. A box of 10 Bourneville buttons for €2. That's great value. I'm just curious what the use-by date would be on those. Anyway, let's move on to a slightly different story just to conclude. We learned this week that electric bikes and e-scooters will finally be regulated. And if it has a top speed not above 25 kilometres per hour, you won't have to go and get tax and insurance. But if it's a super fast one, you're going to have to, get the pen and paper out, get the admin done, make sure that you're protected. Do you see many of these around Mullingar, these e-scooters? I think they're more a Dublin thing, are they?
No, there's a lot in Mullingar.
Really?
No.
But they need to teach people how to use them properly.
Oh, exactly. I've had three people outside the shop since Christmas that have been lamped out of it.
Yeah.
One of them went to hospital. And
oh, dear.
It really needs, I don't know, maybe it needs to start in schools or something as an education process, but they're flying down the main streets and taking people out of it left, right and centre.
When you say on the main streets, you mean on the footpath?
On the footpaths, yeah. And bikes as well. You'll see, yeah. And I'm not, I suppose, picking on the younger age group, but there's a lot of kind of 10 to 15 year olds and they're on the footpath. They don't want to be on the main street because of cars, but they're absolutely racing down the footpaths and somebody walks out of a shop and smacked or straight into them. It's a hard one to call. Like they're a great initiative. They're in every city in the world. But safety-wise, they're a big, big issue.
No, I agree absolutely. You see, yeah, at roundabouts in Mullingar, and they just come straight through. There's no looking left or right. And at some point, some young lad's going to get killed because it gets teared out in front of a car. Mm. So I think
even through traffic lights as well, they go straight through them.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're out of time. We will watch to see the regulations come into force and how strictly the Gardaí will adhere to them. For now, thank you for your time. Brian Fagan of Brian's Treasure Chest, Kieran Lambert of Lambert's Pest Control and Tomás Nally of Rochford Superstore, all in Mullingar, where the fla continues. That's where we leave it today, though. Thank you to Sinead for putting it all together. And on the way, Brian Cunningham with That's Life and a funny programme on the way, a comedian in store to keep you entertained over the next hour. Caller of the day going to the Tullamore show, Mick Quinn in County Offaly. Congratulations, Mick.